Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
Welcome to Slamfire Radio, episode 571. Today is September 4th. I am one of your hosts, Kyle.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly.
And I'm another one, Adriel.
Yep.
It's like we've done this for a while. Well, look at us go.
Tony is testing out a new money-making scheme to be able to buy a new gun.
What is that? Is it like...
That's booking flights and having them multiply cancel them so they have to pay you out a good chunk of money.
Awesome. I think that's a really good...
Do it right when they're like talking about striking and maintenance problems and That's all the time though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I recently booked a flight and I've decided to fly out of the U.S. instead of here in Canada. Because that...
Is it cheaper? Or just... Oh,
depends on the flight.
Depends on the flight. I'm just flying through Spirit, so yes. I'm surprised I even have a seatbelt.
Well, you're flying United. Through Spirit to Edmonton or Calgary?
No, I am flying Porter to Edmonton. So Porter's actually good. It's WestJet and Air Canada that's sucking wind right now.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it that who...
He's on West.
Tony, it was WestJet that Tony booked. And then it was 30 hours. Why the heck are you flying out of Thunder Bay as well?
I don't know.
There's nothing. Okay, never mind. We'll just go lot.
Sometimes you put in a thing and it just gives you a milk run or something. Hey, you haven't been here.
There?
Didn't you like Michigan?
Go with a metal detector and, you know.
Yeah, you should have talked to me. I know people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we could have got him flying out of one airport. And probably for about $200, he could have flew into Toronto or whatever. Mm-hmm.
We should probably start the show, hey?
Oh, yeah, we're actually live. We already did the intro, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Kelly, why don't you let us know what you've been up to in guns?
I didn't go to the range this past weekend. It was a long weekend, and I literally had one weekend at home. So I did a lot of things like cleaning my toilets, which needed it desperately. But I did do a lot with getting ready for my shoot that's about to come up this weekend. We're having Lady Seed and Blue Mountain. And so I did a whole bunch of stuff with that. I had to order some supplies to get ready for that and just make it one of the best shoots that we're going to have. We have some new IITs as well. IITs are instructors in training. They're coming out. So prep them. Told them where to find some stuff, and I'm prepping some of the material that they need for their shoot that's about to happen. We're booking a couple more events. So if you go onto the Maple Seed Rifleman page, by the way, Adriel, thanks for sending that out today. You can see that we have some events that are happening in the Ottawa area on the 5th and 6th of October. I'm stealing the thunder for upcoming events, I guess. But we have that happening, so... Ottawa, we're going to be going there, and we're just talking to another range up in Penetanguishene. So we're going to be going up to Midland and Penetanguishene again in November. So I'm also booking another couple of events too, but I'll release those in the next little bit. We have some things that are happening with She Shoots. So next week, save the date, 8 p.m. EST, 6 p.m. Mountain. We have a company that's coming on, and we're going to be talking about sponsorship and providing bullets. So there's a company in Calgary that sponsors Melody and Taylor, everybody that we just had on the show last week. So we're getting their sponsors on. I think there's a theme to that, or a continuing theme. It's all about... Anyways, Yeah, we're planning into She Shoots for the next year as well. We've already looked at almost filling the calendar, so it's year four. How the heck did that happen? I have no idea.
It's been 4 years already.
It'll be 4 years starting in January.
Wow.
Yeah, right. Once a month, though, it's much more manageable than Slamfire. So, which is extremely cool. We got some things that are going to be happening with that, surprises. So I will announce those when we're ready to go with that. And I don't know. I feel like I've been really, really busy, but I think it's just getting everything prepped and that for this weekend. I am going to be doing a club level handgun ATT course on Sunday. So I'm going to go to Blue Mountain. So I have to get up at 2 a.m., drive through the night and get there for 7 a.m., set up, do the whole entire event, have a good dinner, and then say goodbye to everybody, and then drive all the way home, get home around 1 o'clock in the morning, and then get up and be at the range for 8 a.m. I'm excited about it.
Sounds like it.
No. Yeah. So just booked a couple other things that are going to be happening so next weekend, the weekend that's about to happen, we're going to be here in Ontario, but the weekend after that, I'm going to be in Alberta. So we've already booked our plane. We've already booked our flight. So we've already booked our car, but I also actually booked dinner, going down to Calgary, going to meet up with some friends like Deneen. She's going to show us around her new ranch, but then we're also going to go see J.R. Cox and have dinner with him. So it's going to be exciting. Yeah, lots of fun. When I say I don't know what I've been doing, I've just been talking to a lot of people.
Talking and
that's
planning.
Something.
Mm-hmm. I didn't shoot this week, though. This weekend I will. Oh, by the way, Saturday is supposed to be 14 degrees and raining. Yeah.
Which Saturday? The one where we're doing the maple seed?
The one that I'm doing this weekend. Yeah. I'm not happy.
That's because you're doing it.
I know. I decided that it is me. Adriel, why don't you save me? What are you doing with guns this week?
You don't want to. Speaking of weather.
What's
so that? We moved the three gun match, our big yearly three gun match. Usually we do it in June. It's been hot as balls the last couple of years. It's been, oh my God, sweaty and gross. And we camp out there, right? So it's been too hot. So this year we moved it to September. Fine, right?
Didn't you have snow a couple of weeks ago?
Don't worry about that. That's in the mountains.
It was in Lake Louise. I know, yeah.
Here's the Saturday, Sunday coming up.
Ooh.
That's 31. So 30 on the Friday for setting up, 31 on Saturday, and 31 on Sunday.
I'll trade you.
I would love to trade you because I hate shooting in 30-degree weather. I would much rather be shooting in 14-degree weather.
Yeah, but this 14 degrees with rain.
Yeah, and I got a bunch of women. I already got emails today saying, are we canceling? I'm going, no. No.
It's 14. Are we canceling? No. We didn't cancel when it's zero.
Yeah. So what I did was...
It's got to be a tornado or lightning or...
Yeah, I said we only do extreme weather. So cancel. But I did send a secondary email just reminding everybody to dress for the weather. So I made recommendations, you know, rain gear, layers, pack a dry set of shoes, as well as, you know, warm clothes for your drive home. I don't usually do that, but it's a bunch of women, so I wanted to do it.
Sandals for the drive home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You kick off your wet socks, you put your sandals on, you put the heat on the floor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's normally how I roll too.
Yeah.
Or I just stay in it for 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours. My feet are like pruney when I get home.
Yeah.
I'm done. Oh yeah. We were supposed to be talking about what you're doing.
That's me. Yeah. You had to, you know, pipe in there for a minute. So on the Discord, someone let me know about a sale. Tenda had a sale on Frontier 5.56. Hollow Point. Boxes of 20, and it came out to 75 cents a round.
Nice.
So I bought all they had.
You have bought it.
Give me all you got.
Oh, I know what I
pulled one of those.
Oh, I love that Frontier stuff. That's good.
Yeah, it's high quality stuff. And like right now, try to find some 223 or 556. It's kind of hard to find. Like Tenda doesn't have bulk stuff. My local places don't have bulk for cheap. It's all like 85, 90 cents around. This is 75 cents around for like decent boxed ammo. Hell yeah.
Well, yeah, like I was telling you before the show, like that Frontier stuff is, from what best I found, was the exact same load as the Hornady American Gunner. It just has annealed brass instead of the bright, shiny Hornady brass. But
is it nice and hot? What kind of spot speeds did you get out of it?
Out of my 18 and a half, I was getting about 2850.
All right. Yep.
That was my average, was 2850 out of the 18 and a half inch barrel.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So you'd be right around 3000 with a, 20, 22 inch, somewhere around there. Cool. Anyways. Yeah. I got a bunch of that stuff coming because I have a bunch of green tip, but green tip's not super accurate and you're not allowed to use it for a three gun. Cause like shooting steel targets, lots of places don't want you to use the green tip on that. So I got a bunch of stuff of that. I got a bunch of XM193, which is, I don't have a bunch of XM193. I'm running out of that stuff. I'm going to replace it with the Frontier for a bit. And then I was like, oh, you know what? I should get some factory 9mm. So for my matches, rather than running reloads, I'll run factory stuff and get that little bit extra reliability and, just in case, just for the whoops factor, right? So I got some Scorpio 9mm, which I know some people have said that they've had problems with. I haven't, so I'm going to keep running it. I like their ammo boxes are really small too, like outrageously compact, which I like because you can pack in more. Yeah. And then I was like, wait a minute, do I have some factory 9mm? I have a whole ammo can full of factory 9mm. I went down. I have 1,200 rounds.
That's not bad.
I probably didn't need it, but it was an okay price. So, why not? Why not?
What did the Scorpio end up running per round?
329 per thousand. 329? Yeah.
Oh, 32 cents. That's good.
And that's the size of the box compared to like a Blazer, right? So it's quite a bit smaller. And I found it ran fine. It's fine. Like there's no wasted space here. It's about all you can fit in there is that many rounds, but it means that I can just fit more in my ammo can. So I like to have double the amount of ammo I need. So I like to carry lots of it. So I got that coming. I went grouse hunting over the weekend in an area where it's opened up. I wasn't grouse hunting just because there were so many people that I was just there. There's grizzlies and bears and that kind of thing in that area. So I was primarily carrying like our bear spray, which was
this, a gun.
The FPC. And it was interesting because I got some a lot of miles holding this thing, loading it and carrying it. And I don't like that they didn't include a better sling attach method at the back. Okay, they custom made this stock, right? They put a QD cup there, but you plug into it from this side.
Bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
The back.
And then they just expect you to put,
something like on there.
A clamp on there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, something on there. So push button or something like that on there. So I don't really, because the problem with having it at the bottom there is that if you carry it like this, it's going to want to flip over on you. And you're going to constantly get the grip like digging into you and that kind of thing. So I don't really like it. I think they made a mistake here. This is like air gap right here. They could have put a cup right there.
Yep.
And that would have held really nicely on your body. And I might do that. I might just drill a hole in there and put a cup in there. Or not. I don't know. But everything else is really good. So I tried a couple of different carry methods with it. A really nice cradle carry, just because like as you're holding on to the grip like this, you can just walk like that. And that's nice if you got no one to your left. And I found like trying to like the balance point on it is weird with the mags on the back there. But if you turn it upside down and you just grab it right here, you can carry it.
It's pretty easy to. Yeah.
Right from there. Upside down though, which is kind of goofy. Yeah. But it at least it carries. And I didn't really enjoy carrying it folded. I didn't really find like a, okay, you can just carry it like this, walking around, that kind of thing. It's just kind of a...
Yeah, if it's in a bag, okay, but I don't know.
It's in a backpack or something. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I don't know. All the controls and all that kind of stuff are fine-ish. I don't know why they bothered putting a slide lock on there, and I don't know why they bothered putting a trigger or a safety on there either. It's got a trigger safety. They don't put a safety on their MMP. But functionality-wise, it's great.
It's good.
So,
yeah,
hard to complain from that side. Also got some time carrying the GSG.
Yeah.
Primarily, my kid was carrying it, but I was carrying it for a little bit, and it's very nice and light.
It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It also doesn't really have a lot of sling attach options on it, but I put a Magpul clampy on the Picatinny thing, and has a little hole for the cup, like along the top there, and ran it as a single point sling, and that was great. Yeah, that was exactly what it needed. It was really hot, so we didn't really see a lot of grouse. We got some, but just not a lot. Set up some more PAL RPAL courses with Colin. He's a listener and a fellow three gunner as well. So cool. Those will be coming up. I'm starting to get some signups for October and November courses with him. So that's all going really well. And on Instagram, I got someone from Hanun Custom reach out. They're like, hey, would you want some G10 panels and some mag bases and that kind of thing? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Why not?
Sure.
Actually, I was kind of thinking of that for my 300 Blackout because it's got an aluminum fore end. It's going to be cold in the winter. So, you know, some G10 rails would be kind of nice. And those arrived.
Did they?
I'll probably need some extra. Take a look at that.
Oh, they're even sized perfect for your hand.
He didn't have this size before. I'm like, he had this, the bigger. And I'm like, can you make them short? He's like, yeah, why not? I'll make those and I'll offer them on the website now. Yeah, exactly. So
nice.
That's what those are. They're really aggressively grippy, like really incredibly aggressive. Which I can't get aggressive enough on a grip for me. So it is really nice and grippy and perfectly hand-sized, I think. They do cost a little bit more, like this style of rail cover, because they're so slim on the body. But it's nicer. Like, I had some plastic, like, made in China, M-Lock and Keymod rail covers before, but they were really cheap and chintzy. They're not. Yeah, this is like clearly like a much nicer one. So yeah,
nice.
Kind of completes the look on that thing.
Isn't it nice when they come to you?
Yeah,
it is. It's nice.
Yeah,
but it looks great.
Another thing he sent me was some mag base pads for the Glock. Really, really grippy ones. See all the
nice.
He's got the grip and like stuff on every surface. He's like, I put it on everything because he shoots IPSC. So he's like, grip on everything.
What is it made out of? Is it made out of
this one's aluminum? Aluminum. Those covers over there were G10.
Okay,
G10's good. G10's like if you were to get a aftermarket. Panels for your pistol or something like that. G10 would be a good material,
but
not
base
so much for mag base. Aluminum on these. Yeah. And I like the shape. Yeah. It's not quite like a straight profile to it. It's got like a bit of an angle to it, but works perfectly with this Glock with this magwell on it. And I needed a couple more, so now all my Glock base pads have. All my Glock stuff has base pads on it. Yeah, so that was good. I'm trying to look around and see what else I did here. Coming up this weekend, I have the Battle of Alberta three-gun match. That's kind of like the biggest match here in Alberta for three-gun. And I've just been preparing my stuff for that. But I want to talk about that for the main topic.
Yeah, let's talk about that, the main topic.
Yeah.
So it's going to be warm.
Yeah, sounds like it's going to be beautiful.
I need to come see you.
No. It's going to be warm, not beautiful. I disagree.
Oh, I forgot to mention, one of the things I did do was I couldn't do it. I was looking at the Swordens because I really need a new pair of Ear Pro. The gels.
$1,400.
They're only $500. Well, that's
if you get the comms kit with it.
Oh, no, I'm not getting comms kit.
Which one were you looking at? The old version?
Yeah, the old
obsolete version.
No, listen, I'm good with the obsolete version, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't press the go button. So I just got new gels for my Peltors.
Did you get the real ones or did you get the knockoff ones?
No, real.
I could have, like, okay, I'm still rocking the same gels I was rocking last year, the year before. And they last way longer than the factory ones. They're made for pilots. It's pilot gel.
Okay.
Real super thick. Yeah. And they're on Amazon.
Yeah, I got them off of Amazon because I was going to go there.
But did
I
you get the Amazon, what do they call it? 3M Peltor HY.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
H60 that's or something like that?
Yeah, that's what I got. I put them on so much better, and I didn't have gel in my ears when I took them off,
which has been happening.
Yeah. That's the last time I went to the range. I had gel in my ear, in my hair. I'm going gross. And
these are the ones you want.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
25 bucks. No.
Oh, no. Those are $29.
$25. Look how thick they are. They're for pilots. They're for pilot headsets, but they last way longer than the 3M ones do.
Well, you know what? I got the 3M ones. Maybe next time, not have the, you know, click. Because I was looking at them
a year from now, when those ones have worn out and they're completely smushed flat, get a set of those.
Of course.
Because mine are still not smushed flat, and yeah.
I was comparing them. I do replace them. I replace the gel pads once a year. I have
because they wear out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine worn out.
Because they wear them so much. But again, you wear them a lot too.
Yeah, probably the same amount as you do. I do maple seeds, 3-gun. Well, I don't wear them for the PAL courses. But yeah, I don't know. How many hours would that be? 1,600 hours a year of wearing those things? Probably somewhere around
more
there.
Than that.
Maybe, yeah. I haven't really thought about it. Yeah. More than 100. So between 100 and 200. Yeah, somewhere in there.
Yeah. Anyways, I did order them. You guys are, after we're done, can you guys just, you know, we'll say goodbye to everybody. And then you'll say, buyer's remorse. You should have done it the right way. Just go and do it. And I'll go buy it.
Well, it's not the right way. It's not the right way. It's the wrong thing, but they are better. I'll try to find my video where I'm
just going to get a pair of swords. That's all.
that's the real solution. Yeah.
You know what really was problematic for me?
What's that?
The amount of rain I am in when I wear them and shorting it out within a year. That was the problem. I couldn't do it because I don't want to spend $450 on a pair of ears that are only going to last a year, and I'll, you know, drown them.
Yeah, and you will.
That was the problem. Anyways, okay.
I'm trying to say, like, okay, so I just found my video here. 3 years ago, I put them in August 2021. They're still ticking. Those $25 ones. Anyways, I'll drop the topic now.
Okay. Axel in ears, they're more water resistant. No, it doesn't matter. I just get soaked. Have you seen the videos that I've been in there? Oh, I kill ear pro. Literally. Yeah. Okay.
Kyle, sorry. I think it was your turn, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Haven't done much. Just got back Saturday. So, but I did buy a patch panel finally. So I took down my M16 engineered drawings because it was actually bugging me that you couldn't even see it. It was just reflecting lights off it. And I just had a drawer full of patches. So I finally bought a patch panel and decided to put it up there.
Yay.
And after
a place for sticking your patches. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought like
patch wall, patch panel. Patch panel.
Yeah. That'd be...
and then after talk with Taylor last week, cause I was a toss up between the hydraulic buffer, which would have been much cheaper, or the roller delayed buffer. And actually just before the show, I decided and I ordered the Shields roller delay buffer set up for my PCC. So
the gamer.
Well, my theory is the value, right? Like, well, Because the way we were talking, where the shields kind of takes care of the recoil at the start of the stroke, where the hydraulic mm-hmm. takes care of it at the end, and he was saying yep. with the overgassing and being able to run a lighter bolt, which I'm okay with running a full weight bolt, but getting more gas out the muzzle, that would be advantageous and be able to use the brake a little bit more. So that was
maybe, yeah,
that was kind of my thinking, was it just more flexibility in the setup. And yeah, I was thinking the more you delay and less blowback, there's more going out the muzzle for that comp to do its thing. I don't think it'll be noticeable, but that's my theory and I'm sticking to it.
I bet the recoil impulse will be
noticeable. Oh, I hope so. $350 US for it. So I hope there's a difference there. But yeah, so we'll see when that comes in. Hopefully it gets in. Oh, and I screwed up because I kept putting it off and I can't peer pressure Taylor anymore because I actually went to go double check that there were still spots for PCC Nationals and it's full.
Is it?
Yeah. Aww.
I was putting it off because it was a $400 match fee, so I was hoping to get a couple more checks in before registering for that. But yeah, so that's not going to happen.
I think he was seriously thinking about coming down, but he couldn't bring his rifle.
Yeah, he would have had to get a different barrel for that. Yeah.
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 So.
But I might still peer pressure him into coming down for sectionals because that one won't fill up. And yeah.
Yeah, he'd like that.
And it'd be cool to see him and shoot with him again.
When is sectionals?
That is the weekend of October 12th. Right in there.
It'll still be toasty.
Yeah, it's 12th, 13th is the days we're actually shooting, Saturday, Sunday.
That's Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving, though.
Is it?
Yes. So how quickly you forget.
Well,
you go down to the U.S. and you adopt everything U.S.
No. Yes. Okay.
It's our Thanksgiving that we get.
Well, see, now Steve screwed me up because the team match was always the weekend before Thanksgiving. Oh, well, it used to be the weekend of Thanksgiving. Then he moved it to the weekend before, but the team match is in September. So there's a whole weekend in between Thanksgiving and the team match. So I'm blaming it on Steve. He screwed me up because team match was always the gauge on when Thanksgiving was.
Is Steve Canadian?
Yes, he lives in Peace River.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
Yeah, the team match, the big team match up in Peace River.
Now I understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but yeah, so it'll be Thanksgiving weekend. So perfect. He'll have time that he can fly home on Monday.
That's awesome. Just talk to him about it.
Yeah, I will. Yeah.
They can serve him turkey on the plane.
But I'm really hoping this buffer is in time for me to get out shooting it and make sure it's all good. They had a hook buck stock because this will be actually like a carbine length buffer instead of the A5, and they have notches cut out of theirs. So it'll be a 6-position buffer tube, and they had it marked down from $70 to $30 this hook butt pad. So toss that on the order and figure I'll try that out. Yeah, so hopefully that comes in, and that's it. That's all I did. We get into upcoming events, and I have the three gun stuff pulled up here. So this weekend, there is Canadian Multigun Series, the championship finale at Guelph Rod and Gun Club. Also, this weekend is Battle of Alberta. So if you didn't get in on that and you're in the area, go check it out. Hey, maybe bring your guns and they might let you on the range.
Yeah, even if you're not going to compete in it, you should come out and take a look and see what it's all about. If you're in the Edmonton area.
Yeah. They do a good job with that match. Also this weekend, down in the Calgary area on the 8th, you got CDTSA 3 gun. So that's at Milo. And then nothing until the end of the month, the weekend of the 28th. 28th, 29th is the Mighty Peace 3 Gun team match. 2 weekends before Thanksgiving instead of the usual weekend of or weekend before. And then on October 5th, got Chaz 3 Gun. That's their normal monthly match. And yeah, all of those, except for Mighty Peace, will be on Practice Score. For other events, who's doing Maple Seed tonight? Kelly? Adriel?
Yeah, I got it up. I can do it. So September 7th, we're going to be at Blue Mountain. Come and see me. I'm going to be there. September 14th, we're going to be at Sherwood
that's
Park.
That's a lady seed, though, right?
Correct.
That's not for everyone. That's just if you're...
You have to be a lady. Yes. So September 14th, go to Sherwood Park. No, you don't, because it's sold out.
Nope, it's full.
September 15th is the ladies' day at Sherwood Park as well. You have to register through the club, and I have no idea whether it's sold out or not. September 15th, Mayor Mishi, Shooting Sports. It is not sold out. Go in and do that. September 22nd, Lone Butte, Women's Only as well. I will not be at that one. September 28th, Chaz, you can go and register there on our website. September 28th in CFB Borden, I'm going to be there. September 29th, it's a known distance. In order for you to participate in that, you have to be a rifleman. So you've already would have to have qualified, but it's a whole bunch of fun. So go and register for that. October 5th, it's Cape Nova Rifle and Revolver Club. That's in Nova Scotia. Go and register for that. And we will be getting up the October 5th and October 6th events for Stittsville. It's already gone out to our members, so public will get and we'll get it up onto our website in the next couple of days. That's it. So far.
That's it.
Okay. We're going to have some November events.
Cool. So there is a HGG firearms training on September 14th. That's just your... the PAL, the non-restricted PAL. Do you still have spaces open for that?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So if you know anyone who needs their PAL, go sign up for that. And there sounds like they're opening some stuff up for next couple months as well. So TACOM CCFR night is September 7th in Toronto.
Yep.
Center of the universe. I imagine CCFR will have some details posted on their social media or whatever.
Right. So Thursday is set up, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can go and attend the event.
Okay.
So, yeah. Cool. 6th, 7th, 8th.
And Tony just entered one in because he's watching online. A BTSA ASL Rifle PCC Championship registration is now open on Practice Corps. I did ask him the dates. He thinks November 4th, but he's going to double check. So that's Taylor's big rifle match that they're putting on. So, November 3rd. And yeah, that's on Practice Score. We will get to the news. So the first, we got a couple bits of news this week. RCMP, the Commissioner Firearms Report. I did not
I can show that one.
Okay.
Yeah. So they released their 2023 report. I wanted to just highlight a couple of things out of it because I found a couple of things that were interesting. Mm-hmm. One, the number of license holders. So this is a review. Not everyone knows some of these numbers here, but in Canada, we have 2.4 million firearms license owners.
Right.
Holders. Holders.
Rather. Holders.
Yeah. 1.5 million non-restricted, 750,000 restricted. 12,000 minor, that's smaller than I thought, and 40,000 prohibited license holders, which is kind of interesting. So a lot more restricted than you probably think. When you think of like gun owners, you'd be like, oh, no, there's a bunch of like FUDs and a bunch of people who just have like three guns and that's it. But I don't know. Well, it doesn't seem like it. Seems like there's a pile of people with restricted firearms out there.
Yeah.
They've got their number of firearms traced and number new records added to the FRT, 3,527.
Wow.
Boy, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of them. They take 38,000 email inquiries. So they do.
Just looking like records updated 512 from when? Is that just for 2023? Like from 2022
to calendar.
So in 1 year, there are over 3,500 new records added to the FRT and 512 updated.
522, yeah.
Yeah, it's 22.
A little bit here. Yeah, they get a lot of mail and that kind of thing. Incoming mail, 38,000. That includes mail-in applications, inquiries, et cetera, et cetera.
388,000.
388,000 pieces.
You said 38.
Oh, sorry. 388,000. Thank you. Phone calls, 1.2 million per year.
See, that seems lower than I thought it would be.
Okay, but how many restricted transfers were happening in 2023?
I mean, that's basically one firearms owner calling once per year.
Sure, yeah. But I don't think there was many people transferring handguns. I think if you would have like reversed a couple of years back to when we could do handgun transfers and they had to be done on the phone, there would have been a lot more phone calls coming in. But this is all now being handled with the online stuff. The online queries per day, 24,000. I don't know what a query is. It's probably super loosely defined.
Well, a query is a query.
Okay, but is a query like a hit on the database? Because that's like in SQL language, that's what a query is. It's just a hit on the database. It's or is it like a license check? Or is it
hit? I would think anything it's a that hit. Hits it? I think it's a hit. Yeah, people knows? Are going.
Yeah, maybe. Blah, blah, blah. They got a bunch of other things here. Yada, yada, yada. Who cares about that? Bill C-21. And blah, 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 blah. There's our numbers of people with licenses. I think in Alberta, it's right around 1 in 10 people. 361,000 people. 362, really. 362,000 people out of a province with 4 million people. Yeah, 1 in 10, give or take, right? Some of the other provinces, BC is similar, not quite there, but similar. Ontario has more people with licenses, but I think like overall population quite a bit more as well, right?
Right.
It's like in terms of ratio, I think like it's probably Manitoba or Saskatchewan, no, or Yukon or something like that, that has like way more PAL holders to number of people.
Oh, higher
number
ratio. Yeah.
Yeah. Ratio.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, of the major provinces, Alberta, BC, Saskatchewan probably have. Well, I don't know if you can count Saskatchewan as a major province, but
just under 500,000 for Quebec. That seems higher than I expected, but I guess there's
500 very oppressed people.
Yeah,
500,000. Sorry, Kelly, you were going to say something there.
I was going to say that Quebec actually has a lot of people who do hold a firearms license. It's the people that are in the urban areas like Montreal that are the problem.
Yeah.
Just like fair. Ontario. Just like,
that's where all the population is, though.
Toronto. Yeah. Yeah, true.
Yeah.
The people outside of Montreal are the ones that are the ones
the,
that...
The bush people?
The bush people. The people who go hunting. The people who are okay, man.
In the bush. This is something I really like. Okay, take a look at this trend of the number of people who hold a license per year and look at the jump. So from 2019 to 2020, we lost people. From 2020 to 2021, we gained, 40,000, we'll call it. From 2021 to 2022, we gained like 25,000. And then to 2023, we gained like 90,000 people. Like incredible growth in the last year here. Not all me. Some other people helped too. Actually, I didn't even do very much. I didn't do any licensing in 2023. It's only 2024. 2024 numbers, we're going to smash those out of the park. But yeah, big gain. Big gain there. Types of license. Yeah, those are already kind of covered. And types by province. These were less interesting. I'm just going to skip by some of these things here. Number of refusals. Yeah, great. There's some refusals. Here's the reasons why. Right now, Policy Souvien is trying to push for like a new package of prohibitions and powers to the government based on like domestic violence and that kind of thing. They can already do that. They can already ban your license for look at that domestic violence. Yeah, they refuse some people and they cancel some licenses based on violence or mental health or unsafe firearms use or violent behavior. All sorts of things here. They absolutely can and will not approve you for these things. So, yeah, that's the thing. There's our revocations. So that was refusal to get a license. And then neck down here is like, you had a license and now you did something bad. And now we prohibit you based on the court or domestic violence or drug offenses or all these other things. And there's quite a few more of those. So 3,000 people per year lose their license because they've done something they shouldn't have, according to the court. Let's see, businesses. I don't really care about that. License revocations, who cares? Firearms license renewals. Okay. This one's kind of interesting. The blue is people who renewed. The red is people who didn't renew. It's quite a few people. There are quite a few people who don't renew their license. Okay. You're like, oh, well, maybe they didn't have any guns anymore. Maybe they sold them. Maybe they died. You know, who knows? So, who knows what happened?
So this has to play into the new license holders too, because now you got people who didn't renew who were no longer license owners. So it didn't go up 90,000. We went up more than that.
True. Yep. And because lots of people, you know, didn't renew.
Yeah.
Absolutely true. Because that was net, that last one. Now, this next chart is what's really interesting. I think it's the next one. Yeah, this is the one that's interesting. Okay. Individual license renewal with restricted and prohibited privileges and in possession of a registered firearm. These are people who, if they're the red bar, are breaking the law. It's quite a few people. It's more than, it's like 10%. 10% of license holders, people who have a restricted firearm, handgun, or prohibited firearm, forget to renew their licenses every year.
Does that include the people who actually, like, you know, how people, they're going, oh my God, so within 6 months, 2 months, and I have the 6 month grace period, which
I don't know.
Well, I think death is going to be in there as well.
Yeah.
This is too high a number to just account for death, though.
Well, not just, yeah.
Yeah. This is people forgetting. That's a lot. That's a lot of people forgetting. Yeah, they're talking about like, yeah, you know, we send this, the renewal. Oh, it could be like, you know, they just sold their guns or passed away or whatever, or moved outside of Canada. But this is like in possession of a registered firearm. Anywho, prohibited for possessing. This is a bar chart of something we already saw. ATTs. This is kind of interesting to me. This is showing the number of ATTs for license holders. There's new license holders. There's them getting it. Port of entry for export or import. Not that many. Traveling to a gun show, there's a gunsmith. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we've made it so difficult for people to do that. So why are people?
Oh, no. Now it's way easier because you can submit online now. You don't even have to call in for this. The new way of getting the ATT is way better. Yes, you have to.
Yeah, but you have to do the import. All that bullshit. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Now you don't have to. Now. Isn't it now that since one thing from C21, you don't have to fill out the import form to bring your handguns back into the country anymore?
I don't know about the import export.
No,
this is just the ATT, like transport to or from port of entry. So if I was going to go to BC, go for a shooting match in BC or something like that, or Saskatchewan.
No, that's easier. ATTs are easier to fill out requests because it is online. You don't have to phone anymore, but that's just because of the fact that they're not hiring people to do the job anymore.
Mm-hmm. But this seems like shockingly low number to me. Like, because I've traveled provinces to go shoot a different match with restricted firearms. This is a very small number, 779 people. That's people going to the States for matches. That's people like crossing provincial borders, which for me is a bit of a drive. But for someone in Quebec or Ontario, like maybe the closest range that has Nipsic matches across the border. This doesn't seem like a very big number.
Well, yeah, that seems like a reasonable number for going into the States. But when cross province, that's a low number. Yeah.
So when you think about it, look at it from the perspective of like Ipsic Nationals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people right there. They're all included.
That's probably a third of those numbers right there.
So.
Yeah, crazy low. Transport to a gunsmith, quite a few of those. I'm not sure why there's so many of those. Transport to a gun show, not that many. Transport for the purpose of delivering a Canadian firearms. Hey, I'm in this number, 217. That's the instructors. Transport to a law enforcement firearms officer or chief firearms officer.
How many are there? Boo.
122, not that many.
Boo.
Should be zero.
Exactly. What are you doing, people?
Yeah. So just all in all,
I think I have one in there.
Are you one of those people?
Oh, yeah.
Boo.
uh, I don't know if there's anything else. This is the bar chart's bugged and no one gives a shit enough to like check
firearms trace. They traced a lot in 2020, but like nothing in 2022.
41,000 and four. No, I think it's probably like 4,000 something, right? And if you look at the numbers down here, like, yeah, it doesn't support what's up here. Anyways.
Yeah.
I think that's, yeah, that's everything that I found was interesting in here. Sorry, I went a little bit longer, but yeah, found some interesting things in there. Yeah.
There's data,
real data.
Yeah.
How accurate is the data? Obviously,
it's the government, so
yeah. Some of them I think are good. I think some of them are like the queries. We don't know.
I do think that maybe some of the numbers that we did see for transfers, I think it's making people not want to shoot outside the province or go across the border. Yeah. They've made it so difficult. Yeah. People just don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Moving on to the news. Into the news. Sydney Island deer called. They used some CZ Bren 2s with 30 round mags, which we knew they were using full capacity mags anyways, but
the CZ Bren 2s. Using AR-15s.
Yeah.
Yeah. They said they're using AR-15s. And this is Bren 2s.
Bren 2s.
Yeah.
Still in 223. It's practically the same thing, but restricted length anyways.
Yep.
Yeah. Other news? Paul Harrell.
It's political. We're not a political podcast. However, the NDP.
Yeah, that's on the list.
Oh, okay. I haven't been watching. I'm not watching the show notes. I haven't been for a bet.
It's on the list.
Okay, sorry.
It's coming up.
So we are not a political show. And Paul Harrell died. And I didn't get to watch it, but Adriel watched it. I guess he pre-recorded a video, basically one of those, hey, if you're watching this, I'm dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have to go check that out.
Yeah, it was a touching video. His brother's going to try to keep the channel going now.
Yeah.
His brother's got some practice, though, that he's got to put in to be able to like talk as naturally, because Paul's been doing it for a while, right?
Yeah.
So it's hard to step into those shoes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in other news, the NDP have announced that they're pulling out of the supply and confidence deal with the Liberal Party. Yes, see?
Well, that's not a big surprise because they're tanking.
It kind of is.
I think they're just trying to save face and
they're trying to distance themselves from the LPC, who are looking more and more like losers, and they don't want that stank on them. So like, whoa, actually, we're not supporting you guys, but they're going to vote for everything. They're not going to do a non-confidence vote on them. Not until the moment's right. This is just to get the stank off.
He says that they're ready for an election. They still can't afford an election.
I don't think that he'll call the election. Like, they will do a non-confidence vote. I don't think so.
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't. Well, I think he'll vote to keep him in. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see the response by Trudeau, though?
Yeah.
They caught him flat-footed. He wasn't ready for it.
No, yeah. I know.
I'm too busy worried about this stuff. I'll leave the politics to other people.
he was talking his sunny ways stuff. It's like, man, you didn't have time to think of anything political.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
His handlers didn't have a speech prepared, which that was actually interesting that they were holding off letting him know until like the last minute when they made it public, which was smart because then, Trudeau's handlers couldn't have a pre-written speech already for him.
I'm not focused on politics. Well, no fuck. You haven't been for 8 years. Let's be real.
Yeah.
He's just out of school and, you know, reading a story to the kids and, sir, a second airplane has hit the towers.
Sorry, I didn't let F-bomb.
That's I'm not concerned. Yeah.
So what does that mean for us? Well, if they do a non-confidence vote, we go into an election. If they don't do a non-confidence vote,
Christmas could come early.
Then we have to wait.
Pure copium. Pure like...
Yeah,
pure
well, yeah, opium. It's hope.
Breathe it in.
Hopium.
Come on. Come on. Do it. Do it, Jack Meat.
Yeah.
Put your money where your mouth is. Those liberals stomped all over those railroad workers' rights. Aren't you mad about that? Aren't the unions just busting your door down? Come on. Do it. Do it.
Yeah. But you won't. That you won't.
No. it won't help them, though. It's not, very non-strategic for them or the bloc.
Well, actually, the liberals' poor performance could actually help them. But I think they know they don't have a chance of forming government. They just have a chance of becoming official opposition.
This is where it's at the tipping point for him. He could become the official opposition. And that's actually what he wants.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, it's the best he can hope for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Drinking the power. I wonder if Dustin went to go and see him. This is great, Dustin.
Yeah, Dustin's gotten in.
Have you got your questions?
Are you going to do it? Do it.
Do it. Yeah. Are you going to call a non-confidence vote? Speak into my camera and to my mic.
Yeah. We'll get on to new gun stuff. New gun stuff is brought to you by Bullseye North. Need a new boomstick? Bullseye North is Canada's shooting superstore and a proud supporter of the CCFR, with a wide selection of guns and top training gear for any shooter. You got free shipping over $250, which does include ammunition. Some conditions do apply, and they also have flat rate shipping for $17. Wow, I can't read tonight. For orders below $250, and you can subscribe to their weekly newsletter to get first access to the hottest deals. And Tony's going to talk.
That much on here. Yeah. The sub 2000 in 5.7.
Yeah, I saw that.
What?
So Kel-Tec's releasing the sub 2000 in 5.7.
That is cool.
It uses FN mags, which means in Canada, you could get 10 round FN mags for it. Because it just comes with Pro mags for the FN 5.7.
Nice. Yeah.
What would you use it for? That's a little bit harder of a question. I guess the ballistics would be better. So if you wanted to shoot longer,
it's a fast round.
Maybe it'd be better for coyotes than the 9mm version would.
Well, you get more range out of it. Yes.
Gophers? Not really. Accuracy wouldn't be there.
Well, and the cost of ammo compared, especially to your 17.
Yeah, it's like $1.20, $1.30, I think, right now out here. And when you look at the round, you're like, I'm not getting my value for my $1.30. I can get a 223 for 75 cents.
Yeah.
Anywho, that's coming out.
Cool.
Sterling Arms is, they announced it early for TACOM, but they've got their R9 Mark I, which is going to be a 9mm PCC.
Let's see what Mike has to say about that next week.
Yes. Yep. We'll see. Did you know that they've got like a whole like Sterling Arms? Because I was looking at it before the show just to see if they had the R9 up there. They didn't, but they had the R18 Mark II. Okay, great. I think they're releasing the Mark III at TACOM as well. It just didn't make it as noteworthy as the
R10.
R10 and R15. This is an AR-15 style, not available in Canada. Yeah. And this is an AR-10 style, also not available in Canada.
Oh.
Because it's an AR-10.
Okay.
Yeah, straight up. So, yeah.
I did not realize they made stuff not available in Canada. I haven't really researched the company at all, so.
Yeah, I didn't either. So, those are kind of neat. And then there's a video on the crypto. So the crypto is real. They have it on YouTube. It's up there. They did a 1,000-round burn down with it, which would have been super annoying with those 5-round mags that they have.
Oh, yeah.
Real slow.
Oh.
Anyways,
yeah, that would be
1,000 rounds.
Brutal.
Mm-hmm. I think that's it.
That's it.
Okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, we will get on to the main topic, and it's fitting for what Adriel is doing. Adriel wanted to talk about preparing for a major match.
Yeah, I guess I wanted to talk about it because like I'm noticing I'm doing stuff different than I do for like a regular monthly club match. With a regular club monthly match. I typically just like throw my crap in my bin and grab a couple guns and off I go. But this one, I'm being a little like a lot more purposeful in the ridiculous things I'm doing. Like even a couple of weeks ago, the things I'm doing and how I'm packing and that kind of thing. It is a bigger match. The prizes don't matter. Like the
Because you guys do random like, draw, right?
We do totally random draw. So it doesn't like if you get first or second, it doesn't matter. You still get the same prize as someone who could get like last. Everyone gets prize, right? So that part doesn't matter. But I just like because it's a bigger 2-day event and a little bit more prestigious, I just want to perform well and to have my stuff not fail on me, as I think is the primary thing.
So when we were pushing the go live button, I was saying, okay, so how do you define what a major match is?
A major match will have more competitors. It will be typically done yearly instead of monthly.
Yep.
It's like there's, I think, like with IPSC, they give levels to them, so you know what you're shooting, right? In 3-gun, there are like it's in Outlaw, so it's all different. Mm. So instead, we have our monthly club level matches, you could call them, and a number of clubs do those. And then some clubs, actually some clubs in Ontario do like a series of three. They might do 3 matches per year and no monthly matches.
Yep.
So those would be like a bigger match, I guess. They would have more competitors. Their prize table might be a little bit better. They'll have medals. Like our monthly matches, maybe they have a prize table. Maybe they don't. Maybe they got medals. Probably not. It's probably just like, you know, you're doing it for, it's like a golf men's league or something like that, where you're just like going out and shooting with some buddies.
Yep.
Yeah. So
major.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah. So major is essentially, it's kind of, so for example, if it's a discipline, it'd be like the provincials or the nationals. Yeah. And we're talking about those events. So PRS, if you're doing like the 2.5 miler, or if you're doing, when we were doing Meaford, those would be the major PRS matches in Canada. And then we are also, you know, those types of things. And Kyle's right. It's usually a weekend. It's not just one day match. Yeah,
well, you had a good point, because there's stuff like sporting clays. Your nationals on sporting clays is usually one day.
Yeah.
So you had a good point. 3-gun, it's a multi-day match, I think. I can't think of a single major match for 3-gun that's a single day. They're usually a multi-day match. I would say
to get enough shooting in.
Yeah.
You need to get more shooting in to separate like the great shooters who are consistent from someone who's just having a good day.
Like you usually have double the stages. Like a major 3-gun match is going to be probably around 10 stages instead of your 4 to 5 for just a single monthly match.
Yeah, and those are also the ones that are qualifiers too. So, for example, as you said, Adriel, you know, if it's a level 3, it's a qualifier for the nationals, right? Or the provincials for IPSC. So yeah, I just wanted to ask that question. What is a major match for you? But we know things like, for example, Prairie Fire, right? Yeah. That'd be
a major match.
That's a major match. Yep. Yeah. Yep. So Battle of Alberta. Major match.
Yeah. Yearly. Battle of Alberta is like we position it like the kind of like an Alberta provincials kind of a thing, right?
Yeah.
Like the provincial match to go. There are some other big provincial matches. I think ours has got the most people that go to it and compete at it.
Okay.
Okay. So the things that I noticed even a couple weeks ago was like gun prep. Like I was sighting guns in, testing them with the ammo that I'd be using, sighting them in, of course, and then playing with little things. So one of the things that I did with this one is I tried it with my ammo. I tried it with this trigger, and I think last show, like during the show, I was putting my other trigger in, my fancier trigger, which is this Timney, which is a great trigger. But last time I was at the range, I was sighting in with it, because even if I change one small thing, I want to re-verify. And what I was having is that trigger is so light on that one that sometimes as I'm pressing the trigger, I press it, it recoils back, and then it hits my finger, and the hammer follows the bolt down. It's not a fault of the trigger. It's I'm not holding the gun sturdy enough, or I'm not like pressing and holding through on the trigger. But that being said, do I want to face that issue or do I just want like a slightly heavier trigger that's not going to do that? So I actually swap back to the trigger that's not going to do that, just for one less thing that's going to cause me potentially a problem. I might put it back in next year, but not at a major match. I've got two major matches coming up in this month, and I want something that's just going to work. So I don't want to muck around with too much. Other than that, I haven't really done too much to this rifle. I oiled it, so it's ready with oil. I am bringing a bunch of tools just in case. So I've got like a full tool kit with some bits, and I've got Allen keys because sometimes the bits don't fit where you need them to. So you need an Allen key anyways. In addition to like my oh shit kit, that's got like a screwdriver and a Leatherman and some other like just random, like poor quality tools that, that you probably wouldn't want to use unless you had to. My pistol, I did absolutely nothing cause I don't need to. I'm not even going to change like the fiber optic rod in it or anything. I'm just going to, nothing changes with it. With my shotgun, I oiled it. So I cleaned and oiled it because not because it's like unreliable, but I want it to be as slick as possible. I don't want any failures for any reason, on match day with it. Do you guys do anything different with your gun prep? Do you clean them? Do you shoot? Do you clean then shoot? Do you want to shoot a gun that's dirty or do you want to shoot something that's like pristine and clean?
I won't do a complete teardown on my gun. I will do like a basic separate it, wipe down the bolt, make sure the chamber's clean. But like as far as breaking everything down into its individual thing, I won't do that right before for a major.
Oh, I forgot about chamber. I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Because the biggest thing is you want it to chamber the round. So bolt all the way forward, cycle nice and smooth. Well, that's basically your main moving parts. That's what I'll touch. Just give them a good wipe down. But yeah, not like a super deep clean. Pull the slide, pull the barrel on my pistol, make sure that's clean. But yeah.
You want to make sure that everything is consistent.
Yeah, and it's just your normal functioning. So rack the bolt. Okay, yeah, no, that's nice and smooth. Got a solid lock up. Rack the slide. Yep, no, same thing.
Yeah.
And that's basically it. Mags, so because of the 2011, I actually don't, probably not the best thing. I don't touch my mags until I start having issues with them. Like once a year, beginning of the year, I will retune the mags. But maybe it's because I'm not dropping them as much now, but that's basically it. And they seem fine for the year.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
I don't typically mess with my mags either. I might, if they get in inclement weather, they'll rust because they're steel body and the finish on them's crap. But I won't mess with anything. I want those things to run.
Yeah, and once in a while, especially where I'm at with sand, once in a while I'll pop the base pads and give them a good brush out. But that's really the extent of that.
Yeah.
Tools. So like you mentioned tools. If I'm going to a major,
you'll bring everything.
I have this toolbox set.
Oh my God.
That I go, it's got tools and parts in there. I just throw it in the box of the truck and it sits there. But I also bring stuff so that if someone else has issues or whatever, I can
do it.
I used to set up, like we would always haul a trailer to the matches and we would set up a table and everything. And basically it got word around where, hey, if you have an issue with a gun, just stop by our trailer. And we got people back into matches.
Right.
So
bring all your tools, Allen keys, fat wrenches, everything.
Adriel, I'm not bringing all my tools.
I bring my whole screwdriver kit.
You're not bringing the Dremel.
No, I don't bring the Dremel.
So you bring a lot.
I have a portable Dremel. I have a battery powered one and I got this little carbide bit on it. It works. I'm not bringing it.
Do you bring parts?
I'll have a spare trigger. Like there's always I'm running the DH3, so there's always a Kelvin Elite sitting in that toolkit. I'll bring a lot of times I have a whole trigger assembly for Benelli sitting in there.
Okay.
So I can just pop out the trigger assembly, spare tube springs, The field kits for ARs. So if you need to do something with your bolt, and I've seen the bolts shear in the middle of a match, so you can rebuild your bolt carrier and everything with that. Usually a spare buffer in there. And Tony's saying Kyle's like a car guy, a spare part for everything. Yeah, but like I was saying, like that comes from where I used to just carry stuff, because with Limited Tactical, that was something I wanted to offer and kind of get our name out there is, hey, if you have an issue, come by. We won't charge you or anything. We'll get you, just pay for the cost on the parts.
Yeah.
Pay cost on the parts. We're not going to make any money off the match. Just so get you back into the match.
Yeah.
And so I've just carried over with that, where I just have parts for almost build a gun.
So when you're talking about major matches, though, you want to be able to continue to participate. We've seen people whose slides have failed. Their barrels have failed. Trigger groups.
I carry another slide stop for the Shadow, because those can break.
Yep.
Yeah. Spare. Yeah.
So.
Just in case.
Yeah. So you.
I should probably bring a spare handgun. If I'm really thinking about it, I should probably bring my Jericho.
There's a lot of people that will bring a spare set of guns. I haven't gotten to that point, but you know, it would come in handy sometimes. But yeah, especially if you're shooting like hand loads for your pistol and you have that spare pistol, yeah, because we've seen a few loads go wrong recently. And when they go wrong, it's not good.
Yeah, with the Shadow, like I've got a Gen 1 Shadow 2. The frames do crack on them. And if my frame cracks, it would be nice to just grab another gun and keep going, right?
Yep.
And I could if I just bring my Jericho. So I'm going to do that.
Okay.
I'm not going to bring a spare rifle, because I'm fucked if this rifle goes down. I can bring a spare shotgun. Not a good one, but I can bring that MC-312, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You may be able to borrow other people's rifles, though, if you need to. Well, that's on
totally
your squad.
Could. Yeah, totally could.
Because Gunny's great people.
Russ is saying, shot a 400-round skeet tournament this weekend, and I never clean my gun till it stops working. Gun worked perfect all weekend, and while I watch the gun cleaner guns fail over and over, LOL. Yeah, depending.
He's probably got a well-maintained gun, though. Yeah. It might not be clean, but it's well-maintained.
Well, and the over-under, like if he's shooting an over-under for that, yeah, those need very minimal.
I don't clean mine. I've had to. When it's
maybe once
working.
Every couple of years, you'll pull the firing pins and clean it.
When it's not working, I had to clean it.
Yeah.
Then it was fine again. So.
Other things I'm doing, practice prep. I've been doing some dry fire. Not a lot. Just knocking some rust off, making sure I've got that muscle memory for pulling the gun up, doing my mag changes, practicing that with not only with the pistol, but with the rifle and reloads with the shotgun. Oh, that's a good one to practice. Mm-hmm. Because every once in a while, you practice with your shell caddies, and maybe one of them is worse than the other one, and you'll find out, because every time you go to grab your quad load, you get a handful of garbage instead of like a nicely stacked set of shells. So you grab it, and if they keep coming out jumbled, like maybe you're not doing anything wrong. Maybe the caddy's like not ideally tuned for you. Maybe there's something wrong there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your mags, mark your caddies, mark your whatever.
Yeah, marking the mags is really good, because then if you have you keep having issues with mags, you can, that's my number two mag. Okay, that goes off to the side until I got some time to deal with that kind of thing. As far as the practice prep.
Whose mag is this? AM. Oh, it's Angel's, right? Someone finds a mag, and because you get into this stage, and you're blah, 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 you're doing all this stuff, your mind's going a mile a minute, grabbing some mags, I didn't shoot this part really well, or maybe I did this, and you forget a mag on the stage. Happens all the time. But and if it's just like if it's a Glock mag, who's Glock it? Especially if your squad went on to the next stage, like good luck finding that, like attributing that mag to you. But a little paint pen and it's yours.
Speaking of paint pens, I know a lot of people who reload, so you're going to have enough ammo for your match plus, but a lot of people will mark their ammo, obviously, so they can retrieve it. So make sure they're getting their own. So you're going to have to do that as part of your prep too.
You got to watch what match that is, because a lot of matches are actually Lost Brass matches. So
you're not allowed to pick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of them are.
Some you can. Yeah. But a lot of the majors, like especially Three Guns, they're considered lost brass matches, yeah. And that's for the staff to go clean up afterwards, and that's kind of partially their payment for for working the match. But check the match.
Remember we talked about it a long time ago when we were talking about getting ready for a weekend or whatever. Do you have an actual checklist that you go through?
I don't have one
anymore.
No.
Okay. No, I think it's a really good idea so that you don't forget anything.
It would,
but still do the same muscle memory as you actually go through that. And just as you're packing, but to have a actual checklist, it's great for people, especially those who are usually distracted.
Pilots who have flown the same airplane for 15 years have a checklist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's because for them, the issue, if they fail on one of those things, is a little
bit. It's kind of an issue. Oh, the gun didn't work. The plane crashed. What?
You wouldn't want to get to a match and not have mags. I've done that for the local matches where I'm just like, I throw some crap in a bin and I go, I've done that. Yeah. But for a major one, I don't want to do that because I want my mags with my base pads and my gun and all that kind of stuff. I want to do all that stuff properly. So,
I
should make a checklist.
The other thing is
also chokes. I always forget my fucking chokes.
There you go.
See?
Sitting on the shelf over here. I'm just like looking at the shelf. I'm like, what else should I take? How about the choke set? Chokes that's a good idea. Jesus.
But that's another thing for doing it a few days in advance. Because then you're just constantly, think about that. That gets added in. Oh, think about that. That gets added in. Or doing a checklist like Kelly suggested and actually think and use a checklist. And then you don't forget anything.
Don't change that equipment either. So what I mean by that, so your belt or whatever you're using, don't change it right before the match.
Yeah.
Stick with it.
Definitely don't 3D print ELS forks and use them for the first time at a major match, right?
Yeah.
Don't do that.
That's what your monthly matches are for. Yeah.
That's what I'm doing, though.
I've seen
you've tested the design, at least.
I laid down on them and it didn't break that part, so I think I'm fine. Yeah. Yeah. It'll have to be some real abuse I put towards them to mess those up.
I think it's fair to point out, like, for the practice prep, look at what's coming up and practice that.
Read the stage design.
If there's a match book out, don't try and memorize the stages. You're not going to be able to make a stage plan off of that book. But you can look for weird stuff like, do I have to sling? Is it unloaded start?
You bring slugs? Oh, I have a whole bunch of slugs on this stage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Slugs. Okay, well, now you got to practice and have those say it in. For me right now, as soon as I was done with Rocky Mountain, everything I'm shooting is PCC because I was prepping for sectionals and PCC nationals. There was no other three-gun match besides our monthly that didn't happen because I was out of town. But so all the monthly matches, I'm using those matches as practice with my PCC. And it's great because you're in a match environment, but it's a match that doesn't matter, and you can try stuff and really push and find where that envelope is, and so practicing what is coming up for your next match.
The practice it's critical, making sure that you have that confidence really is what it adds to it.
Well, it's perfect. If you have a bunch of local matches that you can do that with, you can just hang up something and just work on one thing. There's no better practice than a match environment, in my opinion.
Make sure you have extra batteries. Make sure that your rings are tight. Those types of things right before. Yeah, have your dope as well. Have that calculated before you even go so that you can make quick adjustments instead of figuring it out on the fly.
Okay,
that one's done.
Actually, as you guys are mentioning
this
stuff,
I'm adding to my checklist. I'm using you guys right now. I hope you know this.
Yeah. And this checklist, is another point for a checklist. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But like yours, to confirm your dope. Like you could have your dope from earlier in the year, but especially if you're going to have, if you can do it at the range, so the elevation in the similar weather, that's ideal.
If you can, a lot of times at some matches, they'll have the day before so that you can sight in, but you can also add that temperature, the humidity.
Yeah.
Everything that's
you can do your sight in. Checking your dope on that day is usually not possible. They don't have that long of a base set up. But yeah, you can confirm your zero and your weather for that zero. Yeah.
This weekend would be typically the Meaford Long Range Steel Challenge, and it's not happening this year again. Mm. But with it, there would be the Friday where you could go and shoot. You could, you know, you'd sight your rifles, but also it's a challenge out there. It's a swirly wind. A
lot of wind.
Yeah. Lots of wind. Lots and lots of wind. So, yeah.
One thing
that I like to do is prep up my ammo. So I preload all my mags when I'm all fully loaded. And then after I've preloaded all my mags, I load up way more ammo than I need.
Yeah.
Like probably two or three times more ammo than I need.
I was going to say, I usually go at least two times.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I do as well. There's those STVs. So I think the round count was, I don't know, like 200 per gun kind of a thing. But I've got 600 for pistol and... I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 170 rounds of 223 plus. God, I don't know.
Well, your mags are loaded out too, right?
Yeah, my mags are loaded. So, crap tons. I got some 147 grain pistol. That's in case we have any targets that need to be spun. So any spinners or anything like that, I want a little bit more oomph. And the 147 will do a better job than a light 124.
124.
So I got those. I don't have any specialty 223. I don't have any like 70 grain or any like heavy stuff for long range. I just spam the target. Accuracy through volume.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got some competition slugs. Now, I think there's the opportunity for up to 10 at this one. So I'm just bringing a full box of 25 little recoil slugs.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, you run across a stage where you're like, oh boy. If I use slugs, I don't have to go back and do this.
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot 15 slugs on this stage. And it sounds insane until you do it. And it's like way faster. So I like having the flexibility to do that kind of silly stuff. And that's what extra ammo does for you.
Cool. Another thing for match prep that I like to do, I know I said don't plan out your stages. You could have a rudimentary plan. And I like taking some time out. I do a lot of driving for work. So I kind of do this while I'm driving too, is practice the mental aspect. So practice visualizing going through the stage, positive talk, you know, encouragement, that sort of thing. Just trying to get into the right mindset and thinking, okay, yeah, you can't make an official stage plan from the drawing, but you can use that to help train your brain to really visualize the motions going through and visualize going through that stage and the little intricacies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just while you're driving, just imagine you're somewhere else.
Yeah, just close your eyes.
And
just,
like, yeah. Sit back. You should be able to see it.
You got cruise control on. It's all good.
Wow.
Lane control, cruise control. We're spoiled these days. It should be fine. Yeah. I got some options on my belt. This is my belt as I've got it set out. So I've got, pistol holster, obviously, double rifle, pistol mag pouches. Then for my shotgun stuff, that's on those detachable ones. So I can pull them off if I don't need them. Or, so I've got some eights and I got some fours. So if I just need, just a couple of slugs, like one or two, I can slide on one of those fours instead of one of the eights, and it'll just be a little bit smaller and out of the way.
Yep.
In optimal conditions, none of this matters. But a lot of three gun is not in optimal conditions. You're inside a car, or you're shooting from outside a car, or you're inside a helicopter, which is going to be this weekend, and you need to fire from in it. And sometimes having these caddies in a weird spot makes it so you can't take a certain position, or you get like poor cheek weld or whatever. So I like having lots of options on how my belt is set up.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but that's not stuff you set up right before the match. You've practiced with that belt. Well, typically you've practiced with that belt set up. And
I've tilted all my shot shell caddies, but I'm going to dry fire. I'm going
to. Well, yeah, that can be done just dry fire practice loading. Yeah.
Yeah. Because before I didn't have the space for it, so I had them all vertical, but now I've got them at about a 15-degree angle, just so it's a little bit more ergonomic pulling them off the caddy.
Yep.
So I'm going to try that rather than like a 90, like pulling your hand down at that weird 90-degree, a little bit more straight. A little bit more. Yep. We'll see. Yeah, so I'm bringing lots of extra tools, and now that I looked over at my shelf, my chokes, yes, I'll be bringing those. Other accessories, I have a mag brush. I'm probably not going to bring it.
No.
Like I would bring, if I was going to shoot in Grand Prairie. Yeah. I'd bring my mag brush.
but okay. That brings up one though. You're calling for 30-degree weather. You don't have the dust, but if it rains, that range gets very muddy.
Oh, I would. I could be so lucky as to have it rain this weekend.
And it's cool possible.
It off a little bit.
It's possible.
Let's check the weather.
Never. That would be one thing. Don't trust a weather forecast.
20% is maybe. 20%.
Yeah, that's
maybe.
Today.
So maybe I should bring some rain gear.
I don't trust a weather forecast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. If you're going layers. With me, do not trust the forecast. Yeah, you're going to need lots of
Kelly
layers.
Kelly is the weather forecast. It's going to rain.
That is correct.
tornado. Every tornado. I think the thing I'm going to do this year. So last year I got, was it last year? I got a heat exhaustion or the year before? It might be the year before. It's capping so quick. I was on the workday. I was just like, I got out, I started working and doing some stuff. I'm like, oh my God, I'm in trouble. I don't feel good. I don't feel so good, Mr. Stark. Yeah, I was this time I got a flat of Gatorade from Costco the other night. I'm freezing that, like a whole bunch of them. I'm bringing them out so that when I need to, and I'm going to set my fridge on like max cold. It'll freeze everything in there.
So an easy one for that is our shooting in the heat episode. Go check out that and take some stuff out of that one.
Hey, good callback. Good callback. Mm. I forget sometimes we've done it. We've probably already done major matches before prepping for a match.
Probably. Well, I know we did the checklist thing before.
Mm-hmm.
And then
why didn't we make one then?
Well, we did.
That was a couple of years ago.
We made those checklists and it was part of our Patreon.
It should
don't you remember?
And up on my wall. Yes, I do remember. I should have there it right in front of me on the wall. Adriel, this is what you need for a three-gun match. This is what you need for Maple. I don't need the Maple Seed one. I need the three-gun match one though.
No.
Food and drink. Yeah, I'm going to freeze some Gatorade because when I'm hot, like I can drink lots of water and it just will not help.
Oh, you need the electrolytes if you're hot. Yeah.
And the cold temperature drinks makes like a big difference too. Rather than like drinking something drinking something that's practically frozen.
I've heard you don't want to do that harsh extreme. If you're suffering from heat exhaustion, you don't want to be drinking ice cold stuff.
What about before you get the heat exhaustion?
I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Some
cold stuff before I get the heat exhaustion. So I don't get the heat exhaustion.
Yeah, I like more room temperature water. So I don't even like ice cold water. So I just throw it in the cooler. It doesn't heat up in the sun. And it's usually pretty good for me.
Next time I come up here, you're getting a warm beer. I'm going to leave it outside.
No, I said water, not beer.
That's pretty gross. You know that?
Yeah. Food. I'm going to have like some granola bars and that kind of thing for the day, just because sometimes the days go longer and you think they're going to
have some snacks. Back to,
Check
if a lot of some major matches will provide a lunch. Others will provide a lunch truck that you pay for, or some just don't have anything.
I never rely on it because sometimes the lunch might be late. Sometimes it might be too busy and you just can't get to it. Yeah. And, you know, it'd be, it just can't happen. Or you get to it and it's all eaten. That's also possible.
Yeah.
So I always have, it's very easy to get a collection of like Clif bars and the, that kind of stuff. Nature's Best, those crumbly, crappy ones. Just grab a couple of those and they're lightweight. Right.
Yeah.
grab some of that stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some wipes for the bathroom because there's going to be no running water out there.
Yeah.
Gotta have that. Anything else I'm missing?
No, just your usual bug screen, ibuprofen, all of that.
If you have a cart, make sure you have your cart or your stroller.
Or if you can't take one, pack lighter.
I put the coal pins on my cart the other day.
Okay.
And the way my cart, it can't fold up with them there. So I just put them loose enough that they can like fold out of the way. You can just like ram them out of the way and then fold it up. But those will hold my guns a little bit better. Last year and the year before and the year before that, I think even, I just like fire them into the cart. They have no holder. This will be a little bit better. I'm styling it up a bit.
You have most important sandals. I got, change of footwear. Even the speed cross are good, but after a day of shooting, I got to get out of them. So sandals or dudes or something. Yeah.
It's my favorite part of the day is kicking my shoes off that I've had on all day.
Yeah.
And putting on some sandals and letting those dogs
pulling breathe. That belt, so good. That belt off, untucking your shirt and changing your shoes. Yeah. That is pretty awesome.
I usually like if you're doing shoot work squad, then, if you've finished your shooting for the day, you can take the belt off and get comfy, but you can't put the sandals on just yet. That's when you get back to camp.
Yeah. Oh yeah. As soon as I'm done my last stage, I've done shooting. I go back, put my guns in the cart. The belt is off. And I don't even carry anything on my belt or typically.
Yeah. So I think based on like what we've talked about so far, the things I need to do more of tonight and tomorrow is practice. I need to do some more dry fire. I'm going to do some more dry fire with my shotgun just to try out those caddies that I messed around with. Make sure I like that angle that I put them at.
Yeah, get used to the new angle. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I should probably do that. Probably do some like mag changes and that kind of thing.
Okay, now here's a question. When you're this close to a match and you're doing that, are you going to put yourself on a timer or are you just going to go through the motion, get the feel for the motion?
No, I just want familiarity. So I don't want to push for speed. I just want some familiarity just to make sure that I'm fresh and it makes it like. So especially on the shotgun, it makes a big difference. If you grab a handful of crap, like some shells that are jumbled up, that makes a huge difference. If you grab them and they're a little bit off or something, and you go to quad load and you drop one on the ground and you pick it up because you're a moron. Like I do that stuff. And that's where I can save time. If I get those shells in that I need and I don't pick it up off the ground or do other dumb stuff like that, that's going to be huge for me. Just like minimizing the errors. For the top shooters, some of us, like we can swing for the fences and we can get a really amazing time. But really the person who wins is consistent. They don't screw up. They don't make huge mistakes on any of their stage plans. They have a nice, consistent match, and they just wallop the rest of us. So that's really what I got to strive for is good consistency and less unforced errors. Not necessarily swinging for the fences on speed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely.
I think that's it. Yeah. Maybe don't forget your PAL and your registration certificate and all things you need to make it legal.
if it's out of province, make sure you have your ATT.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, so that online thing, Kelly, you can go on to, you can say, like, I want an ATT, and you go fill up this form, and it just, they email it to you the next day.
Yeah, it's much more civilized than it has been in previous years.
Wait 2 hours.
It's still a lot of work. Yeah, because you still have to be like, okay, from this time to this time, I'm going to be going from here to here. And from this time to this time, I'm going to be going from here to here. And this time to this time, this next day, I'm going to be going to here. Like, you have to give them all that nonsense anyways.
Right, but you would have done that by after waiting on a phone call for 12 hours, right? Trying to get into.
You know, the last one I did, which was quite a while ago, was I called in. I'm like, I'm going to be doing this and this. They're like, oh, my God, just email us. Just sit. Like, this sounds too common. Like, just email us. So I emailed them, and then they sent me the ATT the next day. So
and quite frankly, the people that work there, they're pretty good. They are pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 So it's
just have problems.
I'm glad that we're having this conversation now because I've got this major match this weekend and I got another one, I don't know, in 2 weekends or something like that. Or three or whatever it is.
Well, see, that team match, you got to bring your winter gear. You got to bring your summer gear. You got to bring your
Don't forget to pack your snowsuit.
It's a team match. You got to.
will Colin be upset if I show this off?
Yes. Just do it. What is
Well, it's the Kenosha hat trick. We will always remember.
Jesus.
Bright pink. That's our team shirt. I still figured out what I'm going to wear to this one. I wore the cat pizza one to the Sherwood Park team match. Maybe I'll wear stuff like this. Yeah, that one's a fun one. Most people are like, what's going on with that person? But, maybe I'll just wear this kind of stuff because it's nice. And I don't know. I got my three gun specific jersey and whatever. And the advantage with that is I got a hoodie, long sleeve and a short sleeve. So I don't need to think about it. I just carry all those. And that covers me for most any weather situation.
Yeah.
One thing that's going to happen at this match is it's 30 degrees and I'm going to be ROing on both days. So I'm going to be putting in like a 4-hour shift of running around in the blazing sun. I'm going to bring my sun hat. That's another thing I'm putting on my list for this.
I was just thinking like, wide brim sun hat, but you wear the muffs. So that makes it a little more.
I'll do the fold up on the side. Yeah. I'll do the Crocodile Dundee cowboy hat kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Or I'll put them over top and look like a retard, but it'll be fine. Still get better, like optimal sun protection. Right, Kelly?
This is correct. I don't have to use that very often.
It seems like I had to this year, like a lot. I've been doing a lot of shooting in like a lot of heat. So this is crazy. Like September for it to be 30 degrees for all 3 days a weekend is just mind blowing. It's so bad.
August and September here has been so cold compared.
See, right now I would take that. Actually, the last couple of days have been nice. It's been down around 70 degrees, so like 20.
It's 20 right now here. I would take 20. 20 would be fine. Yeah. That would be great. Like 30
degrees, like that's 87. That I'd take that. That's nice.
Yeah, but you live in where it's
Hoth. No, not Hoth. What's the
the opposite of Hoth? Tatooine.
Tatooine. Yeah, you live in Tatooine. There we go. Need our Star Wars references, but. Now I'm looking forward to it. I don't think I'm going to do much headcam stuff. So I'm bringing my GoPro, but I think I'm shooting with a couple of buddies on my squad. I think I'm going to get them to record my runs. And I think I'm going to try to get more third party stuff or third person rather view because, with the first, like I can see what I'm doing and I can read my mind on what I'm doing. But for a lot of people, when they watch it, it's not as interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
So I
think it's good for subtle stuff, but that both is really nice. Yeah.
I'll do both. Let's do both. Yeah. Yep. So I guess I got a couple of things that I need to work on yet tomorrow night. So
make sure your batteries are charged up and you got space on stuff, on memory disks.
I'm charging it right now. See?
Whoop. Nice.
And my hat's over there without it in it. So that's like cracked open. So I know that I still have to feed that thing. Yeah, electronics are a pain in the butt just to remember all the things that need charging and that kind of thing. Luckily, my trailer can charge like everything, so should be good. Get solar on that thing, charge whatever I want. Anyways, it's probably enough talking about major preparing for a major match, eh? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Starting to just be normal ramble, which there's good stuff that comes out of that, but it gets on. Mm-hmm. We'll get into listener feedback. Tony was commenting quite a bit on Twitch. Same field strip CLP done. Same bias CMMG. I don't know what. I think that was in reference to PCC, but I maybe talking about a bolt or something. I don't know. And then we do have an email.
Oh, look, it's from Tony.
Tony sent us an email. Adriel, do you want to take this email from Tony?
You bet I do. Good evening, Slamfire Radio. Tony's on vacation this week to visit Freedom temporarily. I'll try to demonstrate the Freedom on the Slamfire Discord. Last Sunday, I attended an IPSC match at the Kananaskis KGAC range, and it was my first competition away from my home range. And to be honest, it didn't feel too different. Lots of familiar faces made it less stressful.
You know what? That's the email from last week.
Oh, it is.
He did send an email this week.
He did.
So I got it here, so I'll just read it.
It's short.
Okay.
What the hell is that? Good evening, Slamfire Radio. Oh no, Cowtown Tony has missed work twice in a row during his probationary period. He is going to get fired for absenteeism. I did nothing in guns, as I am 2,000 kilometers away from home. We all know that's a lie, because you did stuff.
Went and did it in Michigan.
Yeah.
He shot guns.
Yeah.
He'll bring it next week.
Yeah. Registration for the BTSA ASL, Action Shooting League PCC Rifle Championship is now open. Of course, manual action has been eliminated, but mini rifle is now an available option. Come out and shoot. If I'm still alive, I will see you next week as lead host. Best regards, Cowtown Tony.
If he's still alive, he's in Winnipeg right now.
Yeah, he escaped Thunder Bay. Now he's in Winnipeg.
I think I'm doing a PAL course now for that weekend too. For that BTSA
really?
Rifle match. Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
Up in Fort Mac.
Oh.
Hey, next Thursday, I'm going to be
in Fort Mac?
No. No. I'm going to be either in the air or I'll be landed. I'll be someplace in Alberta. I'll try to be on. I'm not sure I will be.
Cool. We do have some YouTube comments. And surprise, surprise, Tony has reprised his role as top YouTube commenter as well. So yeah, he's got a bunch here.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to take away his internet.
at Calgary Cabela's, we have the DIY rifles right below the glass counter. Still haven't picked one up yet. It was on parkerizing, please. Period incorrect, but still better than barbecue paint. Magpul MOE muzzle loader. Party like it's 1776, 2A compliant, even in New York. Gotta be competitive somehow. I learned it from David Freelberger. Shout out to Roadkill fans. Pick the softest class and race in that. And then the last comment for tonight is from Eddie. It says, Baldwin blanks. Technically, that should be live 45 Colt ammo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why. Yeah.
We just got a comment here from Rock Cut Shooting Club. So they're in Powassan, Ontario, and they will be hosting a level 2 IPSC match on Saturday, September 7th. P.S. Weather 90 to 70% rain. Bring rain gear. Kelly, are you going?
I am not. I am not, but I wish you all the best.
So, lots to do across the country this weekend in shooting.
Yeah, there is. It's awesome.
So, we have Cabela's and Brownells links. They're up on the website. So, go check the website. You're ordering online.
Mm-hmm.
And we also like to thank our supporters on Patreon and Player. If you'd like to support us, you can go there and support us there. And if you'd like to send the show an email, you can send it to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Richard's saying, didn't Tony comment to Kyle a few weeks ago when he was away that if you're not on the show, you can't comment? And actually, no, that was Dustin. And that was because I was being contrarian. So, but with that, we will bring the show to a close.
No,
we won't. I guess we'll do shout-outs.
Are we not doing shout-outs? What happened here? Did I miss something?
Well, there's nothing written there, so.
Well, that doesn't mean
Kelly,
anything.
Who would you like to shout-out, Kelly?
I don't want to shout-out. Well, I kind of do. I want to shout-out the Canadian team that's going to be going to the Worlds. Well, everybody was talking. I was a little distracted because they're selling well, not selling. They're selling stickers for a gun, 6.5 Creedmoor, by the way. But it's supporting our youth shooters. So I just wanted to say that I went and bought some of those. And everybody else should too as well. So go support all of our Canadian shooters that are going over the world for the Rimfire PRS. So if you look at Canadian Rimfire, or if you look at, if you know Ryan McLean, who's been on the show before, Jess Titchler, go to over to their pages and you can find the link for that.
Cool.
Yep.
Cool.
Okay.
I got a shout out for the Chaz 3-Gun team. They've just done a heck of a job in the organization for it. The matchbook looks great. Lots of cool sponsors. Yeah. Looks like it's going to be a great match.
Okay. I don't have a shout out this week. So with that, now we will sign off. So go join our Discord server, watch us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Player. Join the CCFR, and we will see you next week.
Later, guys.
Ellie, buy $25 gel.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, time to get a gun.